Okay, Drew, first and last name, position, and who you work with, please.
Drew Bunton. I am the Chief of Water Resources. I work for the state and I work for the Missouri Department of Natural Resources.
There is supposed to be a rulemaking in progress, right, for this water export legislation that the Missouri legislature approved. What's the status on that? What can you tell us?
Well, actually, the statute is very specific. It does give rulemaking authority, but we are not proceeding with the rulemaking at this time. We're more focused on the Water Preservation Act and its mechanisms and kind of what we need to put into place more immediately. So that's really our focus at this point. And the purpose of the Water Preservation Act is really to provide a mechanism to safeguard Missouri's water resources for our present and future use and enjoyment of all of our citizens, and whether it's municipal, domestic, agricultural, industrial, commercial, and recreational. Part of what we are here to do is to make sure we're taking steps to be good stewards of that resource. Historically, our state law did not have protections in place to evaluate or prohibit any export of water out of the state. But there are provisions now that restrict water export methods. And so these new requirements would be of a permit for any exportation of water. And it would allow our existing major water users that were previously defined in statute to request a reevaluation of any permits for export that were granted if they were impacted by those exports. So it has provisions that allow for reevaluation of any permits during a state of emergency. When we're in drought, it would require annual reporting for any entity that was exporting water out of the state. So the provisions of the new law apply to any person or entity that exports water outside of the state. There are some exemptions that are written into the law if the withdrawal or end use of the water resource being exported are within 30 miles of our border. So they would be exempt from needing a permit, but they would still have to annually report their water usage. The other exemption relates to bottled water or water packaged in containers intended for single use. Those are exempt from the permitting process. And so the new law was signed into law in July of this year, and it became effective August 28th. And so from that point forward, any one entity or person proposing to export water after that date has to complete an application to apply for a permit. We're the Department of Natural Resources Water Resource Center is currently finalizing the application and reporting forms, as well as a web page with additional information. And so those are set to be complete in November and be available on our website. And in the meantime, there is a banner at the top of the Water Resource Center's web page on the Department of Natural Resources site that directs anyone having inquiries to reach out to our team members in the Water Resource Center for information. So we administer that law in conjunction with Missouri's Soil and Water Districts Commission. So once a application was received, the statute allows 270 days to approve or deny that permit. So following the receipt of the application, the department is required to notify the county commission of the county where the water will be exported from within 30 days. And then the department also has 120 days to review the application and determine if the applicant is in compliance with the provisions in the statute. So, following that review, a public comment period would be held for 30 days, and then we have 60 days to make a recommendation and submit all of the comments along with the department's recommendation to the State Soil and Water Districts Commission. Then the commission would hold the public hearing within 30 days of receiving the department's recommendation, and then would approve or deny the permit within 30 days of that hearing. The renewals of any exportation permits follow that same procedure and timeline. So they would be valid for 3 years, and we would recommend that those entities holding those permits would reapply no later than 271 days is what our folks have calculated that that whole process would require before their permit expires. So there are provisions for public participation in the permitting process. Each application is open to public comments for 30 days, and the Missouri Soil and Water Districts Commission would take those comments into consideration when making their decision whether to approve or deny the permit application. And the commission would also hold a public hearing for each permit before approving or denying. If we ended up in a state of emergency, in drought or any part of the state based on just drought conditions, the department would have to then reevaluate any exportation permits. The legislature really gave priority to existing in state uses not being impacted. So it is really designed to have those protections in there. Let's see what else. So we have existing major water users permits. Any entity that has the capacity to withdraw a threshold that's in statute has to report on their water usage. So the statute was fairly prescriptive that exists. So really, we already have that framework to require reporting to understand exactly how much water would be proposed to be exported. And so our intent would be to kind of implement that in a way when we get in times of drought or scarcity that protected those existing users within the state. So that's kind of the background on the new law. Right now, it's so specific that really we would not need rulemaking to implement it. And so we've just been focusing on preparing all of the things that we need to have in place, and that's on track to be completed in November and available.
Drew, are there any major water users for agriculture that's outside of Missouri borders that are using Missouri water? Do you know?
Not to my knowledge, no. Of course, most of those users, their withdrawal point is within their state, just the logistics of that infrastructure. So this is really aimed at more of the proposals for large scale infrastructure to divert large amounts of water out of the state. That was a lot of the focus of the discussion that was had in the legislature.
Drew, what would you want farmers who irrigate and maybe use water in certain points of the state that this will affect? What would you want them to know about
Well,
where things are at, or I guess the key takeaway here?
I think the biggest takeaway is that the importance of reporting their water use, and not that anyone is interested in inhibiting their use of water. We're a riparian water rights state, right? So it is reasonable use so long as you're not impacting your neighbor, your downstream neighbor, what have you. And so what I would want them to understand is you need to report your water use data so that we can protect your use of that water in the future. You know, we are blessed in the state at the confluence of the two largest rivers in the country, but we are extremely reliant in times of drought on releases from reservoirs that are in western states, and so we need to have good data in order to defend our continued right to both the water within the state, but also interstate waters. And that from time to time, particularly in multi-year droughts, can become a significant need, and we need to have the data on our water use to protect that use in the long term.
Thanks, Drew. Different topic, but water related drought. Are you still doing work? I know you are not officially director anymore, but are you still doing work with the Drought Assessment Committee then on behalf of the Department of Natural Resources?
Certainly.
Are
So,
you guys going to meet? Is the committee going to meet anytime soon?
well, of course, we're in the third year of drought. I think we had 1 week where the drought map had no drought in the state, and then we really just didn't see precipitation after that, and so it's currently impacting, but you know, farmers and livestock owners, we're at fall harvest, we're going out of the production season, so really the need to convene the DAC is probably not there right now in terms of, you know, needing to provide resources. If that changes, we have the Climate and Weather Committee, kind of a subset of the core agencies that meets weekly. We've received good precipitation of an inch or more in some areas over the weekend, and we anticipate seeing maybe one category improvements in the south and central part of the state following kind of Interstate 44 on the U.S. Drought Monitor coming up later this week. We've also got expected significant rainfall over the next 7 days over much of the state, particularly in the driest regions. So the Climate and Weather Committee met on October 20th and unanimously voted not to stand up the Drought Assessment Committee at this time. The committee will continue to we the Climate and Weather Committee will continue to meet every other week, monitor conditions. In addition, really at this time of year, what we become focused on is power generation. You know, the navigation season will end in December, and once that occurs, then the releases from Gavin's Point are reduced, and the Corps of Engineers has said that they will have lower winter releases this winter because of drought in the upper basin and the amount of storage in the reservoirs upstream. So the Water Resource Center also reached out to the power generators to open lines of communication. So if there's a need to actively coordinate with them, which we've certainly done in some recent years, then we could stand up a power generation impact team, and that's kind of how we've handled it. When we would convene the DAC would be where there's more of a need to talk about and coordinate on resources that are provided to individual producers, if it's an agricultural drought or if we're talking about Like the drought of 2018, we had several communities that had water supply concerns that we were actively working with. So we're really kind of in the mode of the Climate and Weather Committee will continue to meet frequently. And as we see concerns about impacts, we would set up impact teams, but really not a need to convene the Drought Assessment Committee at this time. The combination of extreme cold temperatures and low flows in the river, in the Missouri River, are typically when we really what we tend to look at this time of year. If we get ice jams, if we get a real cold snap come through and the river freezes up, and you get those ice jams preventing water from migrating down, it can affect the ability of our power plants that draw their cooling water from the river to be able to operate. So that is our primary focus in the coming months.
How, and I'm sorry if I missed this, Drew. How does a year like this year on the Mississippi compare to previous drought years? Is it as severe or not as severe?
Well, we've seen the channel remain open, but the river has been extremely low. So, thankfully, in recent years on the Missouri, we have gotten quite an investment in repairing some of the navigation structures. So the navigation channel has remained open through the drought. Periodically, just over, the Mississippi's been fairly low, but we haven't seen the whole scale kind of interruption that we saw in 2012, as an example, where the river was so low that the Corps had to contract to have rock removed from the bed of the river in kind of the Thebes upstream of Cape Girardeau area. We haven't seen it that low this year, but it's certainly a cause for concern, particularly at this time of year where folks are typically wanting to move things out, bulk commodities. So one of the things that I did want to highlight is when we're looking at the drought maps and we're thinking about kind of how important the accuracy of those are in terms of making folks available for resources and assistance, those local condition reports are crucial to understanding how the drought impacts people or businesses, and it really provides timely and appropriate information for the agencies to talk about how we can be more proactive in our response. So anyone can submit information about drought conditions on the Condition Monitoring Observer Report, or you'll hear us call it CMOR. It's really important to understand the impacts and to have reports describing normal and wet conditions during drought. Impact reports during wet and normal conditions can help us improve the recommendations and refine the drought monitor map. And we've really put quite a focus on that because what we've heard is that based on the lack of information, sometimes there'll be areas that are not included on the drought map, and the implications of that, if it's on the agricultural side, is if you're not included in a certain category of drought in your county, then you might not be as available for any of the response tools that might be available from the USDA, for example.